Hi, this is Sam Lagana with the Los Angeles Rams. Whose house? You're listening to the Los Angeles Rams UK podcast. Undenied worldwide. The Los Angeles Rams. It doesn't get any better than this. Let's go Rams.
Hello and welcome to episode 80. 80 episodes, ladies and gentlemen. We've got to 80. Of the LA Rams UK podcast. Chris here to drive things forward for you this week. Joining me is Andy. How are you, sir?
I'm good, thanks, Chris. How are you?
Very good indeed, very good indeed. Good to have you, my friend. Normal format, we'll presume, ladies and gentlemen, review our 22-10 defeat to the Cowboys at SoFi on Sunday. Look at news and roster changes that we are hearing and coming out of the franchise, and then look forward to our trip on Sunday to Carolina, and anything else that comes up in the meantime, we'll discuss as we can. So, I don't think there's anywhere else we can start except obviously for discussing the game on Sunday, Andy. It wasn't a pretty watch. What were your first thoughts at the end of the game?
To be honest, worried that the offense just could not get anything going. We seem to, defensively, I think we played decently. Apart from one big play with a bunch of missed tackles, I thought defensively we pretty much kept them nil and void. But the offense just seemed to splutter and didn't work. And, you know, by the end of the game, it was looking like, you know, both Kupp and Stafford, because of the knocks they'd taken and everything else, were just, you know, close to getting injured. And that is obviously a massive worry for this team, that if we lose either of them, our season is basically over and done with.
Very much so, very much so. And Cooper Kupp looks a man dead on his feet at the moment in my eyes. He looks shattered. Him and Stafford seem to, I don't know if they seem to be on a different page all of a sudden on some plays, which again, is exactly what we've all been talking about, that they haven't been, and they've obviously been on that same page. But do we feel that there's friction inside maybe some of the coaching rooms?
Yeah, possibly, given the fact that it appeared that, I can't remember his name, the special teams coordinator and McVay were having an argument on the sidelines when we had the chance for the field goal and decided to punt it and then missed that. They basically punted before they managed to get the timeout. It did look, when they put the cameras to the sideline, that there was, you know, they were arguing and a bit of friction. So, you know, you are beginning to wonder what is going on, you know, behind the scenes. But, you know, you're also wondering, you know, what's going on with the team themselves, because, you know, Stafford doesn't look like the same quarterback that he was last year. It seems to be his, I think, the worst performance I think I've seen out of him since his rookie year, to be honest.
Yeah, it was a bit of a strange one. And I think you're always going to get that overhang, potentially, aren't you, as Super Bowl champions. It's going to happen. I don't think we can hide away from that. And yes, we would all have loved to have seen us. And who says we can't go back and defend that trophy? I think it's going to be a tough ass looking what else is going on around the league this year. However, you're always going to have that slight sort of hangover to it. But for me, it just... there always seems to be that we're forcing plays that... I'm not a big fan of the screen pass, and I've said it on here before, I don't like it, but sometimes it's needed when going down the field isn't working. It's actually just to give the defence on the other side of the ball something different to look at. It felt a little bit too one-dimensional for me on Sunday, where it was quite predictable what was coming next. Don't know what your thoughts on that were, Anne.
Yeah, to be honest, I do agree with you. We do feel very predictable now, and there seems to have been, like I said in a previous episode, doesn't feel like there's been an evolution to the offense. It seems, you know, it's a case of this worked last year, it'll work this year, we'll just carry on with it. And, you know, it's clear to see now, teams have adjusted to us, teams are doing things different to, you know, cancel out Kupp and to, you know, lock down our other players and to stop our run game. So we can't get, you know, things like the play action going, because they know what's coming straight away. And, you know, if we keep making these massive, you know, Hollywood pass attempts, you know, these 50-yard bombs downfield, and yet you see it time and time again. There's players open. you know, 5, 10, 15 yards. It's a nice, easy check down and just keep the drives going. You know, if nothing else, to give our defense rest, because at the moment, they're getting probably burnt out themselves because of how long they're actually spending on the field, because it's free and out, or, you know, we're turning the ball over.
Exactly, you know, yeah.
It's just ridiculous. Something does need to be done.
Well, that's it, and I think they made a reference to it again on the coverage, which we were obviously the one of the main games and preview game for the late game over here in the UK on Sky Sports, is that Stafford is leading that interception column again across the league, which, yes, he was up there again last year, and obviously we did what we did, but it's not the column you want to be leading in, is it? And the way that we obviously scored the points last week was obviously the one touchdown and the field goal, which, and obviously we'll discuss the miss as well, but it was the fact that we felt like we got that slight momentum when we actually did score, and then we give it away a silly play straight away. And it just feels like there's no momentum to the way that we're playing at the moment. When you looked at us last year, we would score and then bang, we'd score again, bang, we'd score again. And there just doesn't feel that is that way at the moment, that they can actually continue it going forward. It feels like, right, we've done that now, take a step back. We need to put feet on throat, and that just doesn't feel like that killer instinct is there anymore for me.
No, I agree with you. It doesn't feel like that is there anymore. You know, last year we'd be up by half and that was it. You know, apart from one game, we'd basically be cruising the second half. And yeah, this year we're not. We just seem to be plodding along and just don't seem to be. And even when, you know, we're down in plays, there doesn't seem to be any urgency to the offense of, right, let's go, you know. Maybe bang, 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 and just keep hitting them hard, you know, quick plays, quick everything, you know, keep their defense. It seems to be, you know, we'll wind the clock down. Oh, it's gone to zero, quickly snap it and then throw it, which has given the defenses plenty of time to make adjustments to us. You know, it just feels like everything is so lethargic. And, you know, going back to what I said a few weeks ago, I'm wondering if maybe, because they've done it and they're like, yeah, I did the Super Bowl on my first year and everything's great and wonderful and rosy, that all the pressure's off and it's just sort of feels like at times it's almost like they're now going through the motions rather than actually, you know, there's no drive or competitiveness to win games. It's just, I'm here, I've got a year and that's it. And, you know, oh, we've lost. Oh, well, move on to next week. You know, it just doesn't exactly feel right.
And there was some good things that came out of the game, which we'll go through in a bit. And I feel like that we don't want to be too doom and gloom. Yes, we're 2-3. It could be a hell of a lot worse. And there's other teams in the league that are in a worse position than we are. Don't get me wrong. And we're still in the divisional hunt. We are. But we only can obviously speak about what we see in front of us. And what you've said to there, me, and what is the main aspect for me that gets us in that position that we've always got to, and especially last year, is the rushing game. I'm a fan of Akers. I think there's a player there. But on Sunday, his decision-making for me was really, really poor. And I don't know if that's his fault that he wasn't seeing the gaps, or if it's the way that the play was designed. It could be a cumulative of everything, but I just thought the rushing game just wasn't, it just looked so disjointed. And actually, the amount of negative yards that we were getting on rushing, unfortunately, that's the reason why we have to go then to the throw, because there's just no other way of passing. You got to take the passing game because the running game's not there.
Yeah, you know, I have previously said with regards to Akers, my issue with him seems to be, this is how it's schemed up, and he just puts his head down and runs, and he sometimes doesn't look up and go, right, okay, that lane's been closed down that I'm supposed to go through, but if I just shift over, you know, slightly to the left or right, there is an open lane and I can bounce it onto the outside, you know. And he does seem to be, one thing I did notice a lot last, he seems to keep running into the back of his own players time and time again. And, you know, like I've said before, you know, people are pretty much writing Akers off. I'm not writing him off. There is, as you said, there is something I feel still there. It just feels like either he needs to, you know, he came out earlier on in the season. I'm not, you know, he's got to put his head down and work. I get that, you know, but it doesn't feel now at the moment like he is. It just feels like he's just another one that's just going through the motions. And whether or not, because he came back off that injury, I still say he came back too soon. He shouldn't have played the off-season at all. He should have been, you're done for the year, to make sure. So I'm wondering maybe if there's a little bit of still not 100%, because he came back so quickly, his injuries never fully healed. Because he doesn't feel like, when he first came in, he seems, he's one of them, he had a quick burst and go. And, you know, he doesn't seem to have that burst anymore. No. So it does worry me that either the injury has just took that burst away, or he's just not ever got 100% healthy to have that burst.
And yeah, an Achilles injury, that's what it can do.
Yeah, it can do that, yeah.
And you've seen that from, obviously, we watch football over here in the UK. If someone picks up an Achilles injury, that slight turn of pace is, well, there's two things really. They either lose the pace because they're actually still in pain, or they're worried it's going to go again.
Mm.
And that, like you say, if he came back too soon, that subconscious, he may be fully fit, but in his head, and he may not even realize he's thinking that way, that might be the reason behind it. So I just, what it feels as well to me as well, that we've got no, you've obviously got Henderson there, but he wasn't used really as a great deal. I think he might not have even been there. But using Cup again as a jet sweep, I think it's now, again, as I said before, it's predictable.
Yeah.
Cup is always moving across, so there's going to be man on man. So I just feel that McVeigh is, what a coach. He's won us the Super Bowl, don't get me wrong. But for sometimes he's so, excuse me, I don't like swearing on this podcast, and we shouldn't, but he's so bloody stubborn that he doesn't see, and I don't think he's one of them that likes being, well, you said it before about the discussion that he's had with the special teams coach on the touchline. I don't think he's a person that actually likes someone telling him else that he's wrong.
Yeah.
I feel like it needs that at the minute.
Yeah, he does. You know, I think we had this, was it last season? I think we were having this discussion that maybe he needs a more senior person still over him in reality to help in certain aspects. And he didn't like that, you know, with Wade Phillips. That's why Wade Phillips maybe went, because he didn't like having that senior guy over him. You know, and you do think, you know, is there a little chip? But, you know, I think it's something we've always said about McVeigh, is it seems to be he has plan A. There doesn't always seem to be a plan B with him. It's this is it, and this is how it's going to be. And we don't seem to do, you know, apart from, you know, it took us a while last year when we had, you know, the no wins, and then we sort of came back after, you know, the bye and everything. We seemed to did make a few adjustments, but it seems to be few and far between. And he never seems to make many in-game adjustments. It's just, right, this is the game plan this week. We're going to go with it. It will work or it doesn't work.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, where some other coaches would be like, you know, come to, you know, even to half, right, okay, this isn't working. So, you know, instead of doing X, Y, Z, we'll do A, B, C, and let's see what happens.
And I think you sort of hit the tail, I can't even speak at the minute, the nail on the head there for a couple of things with me there, is that I always feel like we come back after the half time at the moment, and I'm worried that we're going to concede straight away. That just seems to be that I'm not quite sure what's being said in the locker room in between. And it'd be very interesting. We see it, obviously, when they're handing out winning balls, what happens in that locker room. I would very much like to see if they'd show the footage what happened at halftime once upon a time. That'd be quite interesting. But it's also that, like you say, the in-game decision-making, it's just not there, is it? And that, maybe even the seniority of some of the players that are on the field have kind of got to look on themselves to obviously try and make the changes as well. And obviously, I appreciate they've obviously got to follow the coach's scheme, but it's just the intensity needs to be there across the board. And you also mentioned there about the bye week. Do you feel it's now, let's get to the bye week and see where we are, rather than let's push to the bye week?
Yeah, I think we said it last week. You know, I think the bye week, maybe now having an early bye week may be helpful for us to maybe make some adjustments, make some and changes. Hopefully, maybe get a couple of players back who are injured at the moment to maybe, you know, shore up the team. You know, I think, you know, Van Jefferson from now is eligible to go, and we believe, hopefully, that come the bye week, he'll come off injured reserve and be potentially available to go, which maybe will give us that little bit extra on the offense. I think, you know, I think Bryson Hopkins finishes his suspension. So, you know, he'll be back as well. So, you know, it will give us a few more options that we can sort of, you know, maybe make some changes with, or just get first team personnel back to the squad to maybe, you know, try and help. You know, I think Brian Allen's another one. He may be back by that point as well. So, you know, I think it's just a case now, as we say, just limp through, get to there, maybe see if we can make some adjustments, make some changes. I think we're lucky that the trade market is still open. I don't expect us to make many trades, but, you know, we can never say never with this team. You know, there are maybe a couple of offensive linemen. They're not going to be, you know, world-class superstars, but we could potentially maybe poach one or two away from another team if, you know, we're in that position where we feel we really must do it, you know, to maybe try and help. Because the biggest question, the biggest issue for me, and it still is we can't have our offensive line giving up 7 sacks or wherever it was and 11 quarterback hits in a game. You just can't do that. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, as we saw, you know, Stafford was injured. Just, you know, luckily that he's a stubborn old geezer that, you know, that will, you know, will play through the pain and keep going, you know, no matter what. But, you know, how long before, with the amount of knocks he's taken, you know, and it's not as if it's, oh, it's one game and then he's okay. It's week in, week out now before it's a case of something major happens to him, you know, and it doesn't have to be, you know, a concussion. You know, it seems to be a big thing in the league at the moment. You know, the way he's getting slammed to the deck sometimes, you're sort of like, wow, that could, you know, he could seriously end up with something like that. And like I say, if that happens, you know, we're relying, you know, on Wolford or the other, I can't remember his name, is it Hopkins, I think, is the other one, you know, and to step up.
It's that whole situation at the moment as well, is where it just feels like stuff isn't working. Now, I'm just looking at the stats in the game. Passing yards, we were actually 90 yards more. Or total yards, sorry, 90 yards more. Because obviously we had the long passing touchdowns. And everything else. They obviously beat. We got absolutely smashed on rushing yards, which we've kind of touched on with the Cowboys' 163 yards. So our 38 yards in total game. But when you actually look down the team stats even more first downs by 4. Third down efficiency was pretty much the same. Fourth down efficiency, 1 out of 1, we'll come onto that in a second. We had more total plays. Yes, Stafford was sacked 5 times. We got the 3 sacks, but we had less penalties, but we actually had the ball longer. Now, there was only a minute in it across the game. But we're not. It's not like we're being completely outplayed and we haven't got ball in hand. It just feels like that spark and that click has just disappeared.
And yeah,
I think the bye week, like you say, can be. We're obviously in Carolina this weekend, but that bye week has got to be some serious work being done, I think.
Oh yeah, I'd say the bye week is going to have to be. They're going to have to come back in, sit down, get things sorted out. And, you know, make adjustments. We don't have many draft picks, but, you know, you're kind of hoping that maybe we could pick somebody up or, you know, hopefully, you know, maybe players in-house can maybe step up and get better. You know, it's a big ask, but, you know, you sort of, something has to change because otherwise we could be done in a few weeks' time and our season may as well be over and then, you know, we're then getting to the point of where people are going to start being like, well, you know, where do we move on from here?
Yeah. You know,
is it a case of, right, we have to rip it down and restart? Or, you know, because we are getting to that point where that discussion is going to have to come up at some point because of, you know, our draft situation, the cap situation, you know, at some point that conversation has to happen, unfortunately.
Yeah. You know? And yes, we are being a bit doom and gloom and a little bit extreme. However, I think these discussions have got to be had because what we see on the field isn't what we're used to, which is a nice place to be as a Rams fan, that we are not, you know, I mean, we're not happy with mediocre anymore. So it's a good place to be. So I said obviously in there there was a fourth down efficiency. I think the one sort of positive that came out of that was that we saw a passing fourth down net positive yards with a throw from our punter, Mr. Dixon. Andy, when you saw that happening, did you have your heart in your mouth?
Yes, I did. And again, I don't want to be negative, but it was like a desperation play. It just felt like a desperation play. Nothing else is working. We've got to, you know, this felt like the Rams a few years ago when we were struggling and we had to do these razzle dazzle plays to try and get yards. It just felt like that again. We were back in that situation. But I also do wonder if maybe it was our special teams coordinator, because obviously Bones was on the other side for the Cowboys, as if it was like a stick two fingers up at the guy and go, yeah, we can still do this.
I think there was definitely something in that.
Yeah, you know, whether it was McVay or.
And I did notice, and again, John Foster's on the other side of the ball. He was celebrating some serious, with the blocked punt, there was a serious celebration from him, which fair dues to him. He's on a different franchise. That's your job. That's what you're going to do. But I think you're right there. I think it was a very much, let's see who's on that other side of the field and let's throw in a fake punt. And it worked. And I reckon he would have, he seems the kind of guy that would have donned the cap and gone, okay, I'll tip my cap to that one. Fair dues to you.
Yeah, you'll see that sort of guy, you know. But, yeah, like I say, it just felt, you know, to me like it was like, you know, it's that desperation plays that we used to have where nothing else is working. We have to try the razzle-dazzle to make it, you know, to just try and get some yards.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's also ironic that the person that caught it basically had as many yards as a certain other player who I'm sure we'll come to mention at some point, because I think he's been the talk all this week. You know, basically has the same amount of yards as he did, which is, you know, kind of a little bit worrying.
Well, we'll go into it. Please carry on.
Yeah, obviously, Jake Gervais in that one catch for 12 yards basically had as many yards as Alan Robinson did in the whole game. You know, three catches for 12 yards. You know, and obviously a lot of people are starting to question his signing and, you know, was he worth it? And I have been pretty defensive for the guy and say,
yeah,
it's early days. He may still be trying to gel with the team. You know, it took Beckham a few weeks to get accustomed to the squad. You know, it took Von Miller when he came in a few weeks to get used to, you know, but we're in, you know, we're heading into week six now. You know, you're starting to think, you know, something more should be happening by this point. There should be
no, I agree.
But whether or not, as people have said, he's not getting, you know, Stafford's not getting that time to get to his second and third reads, you know, because of how quickly he's getting, you know, he's got players on top of him, you know, there's loads that could come into it, but it's just disappointing that, okay, well, we know they're going to mark out Cup, so make Robinson read one and Cup read two. You know, so.
And I think that is exactly, I think you've definitely hit it there, is that that should now, if you want to bring this lad into the fold and he's as good as we've seen previously, I think you're exactly right there. You've got to start designing plays so it hits him in the numbers and then he can move forward with it rather than, I do feel sometimes, and I don't know if it's him, I don't know if it's the way that Stafford throws the ball to him, but he always seems to be on the stretch. And I don't know if that's just him not getting to his mark or what, but it never seems to hit him in the numbers. He always seems to be stretching for it or he's having to fight for it. I don't know if that's just the way he plays the game. I don't know. But I think you're right. I think we need to start designing plays for him, which will then free up Cup as a secondary, which will then mix up the offense, which can only be a benefit, I think.
I do think some of that is Stafford's throw. We have mentioned previously, we feel something's not quite right with his mechanics because he is sailing balls and putting them well over, you know, where he shouldn't be putting them. You know, we've noticed it time and time again. He's underthrown, he's overthrown, he's, you know.
And he can drop the dimes, don't get me wrong. That pass to that was unreal.
Yeah, but, you know, we seem to, you know, we did mention it a couple of weeks ago. He seems to, you know, and this is harking back to the, you know, pre-season with this, you know, elbow injury surgery talk. I think you think, is he again 100% fit and healthy? Because we all have noticed his passing doesn't seem to be, you know, last year, yeah, he had some errant throws, but, you know, 80% of his passes were bang where the receiver wanted him. This year, it seems to be like 40% of his passes are bang where you want them, and 60% are all sailing all over the place. You know, so, you know, I say it does feel like there is a bit on Stafford as well, that his passing's just not up to speed and up to where we expect it to be. And as you say, whether that's he's or not 100% himself with his elbow or anything, or...
Well, I think you touched on it briefly before, didn't you? Obviously, the O-line, it was our fifth different combination on the O-line this season in five games. We are struggling, obviously, on the injuries on that. It's very well documented. We'll come on to, obviously, roster changes in a few moments. But like you said before, he isn't getting the opportunity to get to those second and third reads because there's players on top of him. Micah Parsons has been voted today as the defensive player of the week. The guy was on one leg for pretty much half of that game, if not more than half of that game. Yes, he's a phenomenal talent. However, for him to get that, for me, if that defensive coach now, tomorrow morning, I would stick his picture up in the coach's room and say, that guy beat you on one leg. Discuss. What are you going to do, fellas?
Yeah, exactly. You know, what annoys me more than anything else is it wasn't as if he was getting lined up against, you know, one of the, you know, undrafted rookies who were in the middle. He was lining up against Rob Havenstein, who was supposedly our best player out of the whole line. And he was just making it look like Havenstein at times may as well have not have been there, because he was just coming around him like he didn't even exist. And, you know, I think I called it even on the Discord on a couple of them. I was like, what, is it me, or does Havenstein just look like he just isn't interested? He's just like, oh, he's gone past me, whatever. Oh, I'll just stand there. You know, he wasn't even getting hands on him. He was just like, yeah, he's gone past me, I don't care. You know, it really, you know, for the guy who's now supposed to be, you know, the veteran of the line, and, you know, is supposed to be, you know, our best player, to be honest, he looked like one of our worst players against the man. I know he's going against, you know, as we said, Micah Parsons is a unique, rare talent. But, you know, you would expect him to at least, you know, look like he wants to make an effort. And he just didn't seem to. Like I say, it was probably one of the worst performances from Havenstein I've ever seen him put on for us.
No, you know,
if your best players aren't playing well for you, your worst players are going to struggle.
Yeah, very much. And like I say, it's there's players that are missing in there. Obviously, we're fully aware of that. And we need to get those players back. And we need to understand what is our strongest O-line this season, which potentially we may see in the next weeks. And the bye week may help us out again with that. We obviously keep mentioning that. On the other side of the ball, AD... two sacks again, was doing his roughage best, but when you double team, triple team most plays, how he still gets those two sacks, I don't know. The Jalen Ramsey sack I liked, because again, it was a bit of a mix-up, and he completely nailed his run on that one. I thought it was very good. But we didn't really let them... I mean, they didn't really score a great deal. They obviously had one rushing touchdown. They had the defensive, obviously, the interception to making a touchdown. The rest were field goals. So the defense are doing their job, theoretically, of stopping them from scoring. They never scored a touchdown in the second half.
Yeah.
We just need to do more on the second, on the other side of the ball, isn't it?
Yeah, apart from one stupid play for that, you know, for the, you know, the rushing touchdown, which, you know, yeah, you do have to put, like, you know, we had plenty of time to get that guy down and everybody missed him. You know, even some players we expect to be able to tackle, like Bobby Wagner, you know, a whole lot of them missed. You know, we didn't really put a foot wrong. You know, we just got on with it. We seemed to do the job we needed to do, you know, on defence. It was just, like I say, you know, we can't really fault the defence. Yeah, we, you know, they should be tackling better and everything else. But, you know, when you're only giving up, you know, basically one touchdown and, you know, three field goals, you know, you would expect your offense to be able to win those sorts of games.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're not. But, you know, AD just did what AD does. You know, I did say, you know, people were questioning at the beginning of the season, you know, he's not done anything. I'm like, give the guy a chance. He seems to be one of those guys. he takes 3, 4, 5 weeks before he starts. You know, if you look throughout statistically, the first few weeks, month of the year of the season, he doesn't do much. And then all of a sudden, come, you know, week, you know, after the first month, it seems to be that's it. And then that's where he gets all his sacks. You know, he did that this week, you know, 2 sacks, you know, and everything with what, and a tackle for loss. You know, what we want him to do. But yeah, the only thing I will question is, I'm still not happy with Leonard Floyd. That guy is on a big contract to play alongside Aaron Donald, to be one-on-one with guys, and he doesn't, again, he doesn't seem to be doing anything.
No, he's pretty non-existent at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, and we're then relying on, you know, Jalen Ramsey rushing off, you know, getting the sacks. You know, that should be his job. You know, that's what we're paying him big money for. And, you know, when we signed him to that contract, I was like, we've made a mistake there. He's never going to be. He had one good season, but it was, as we've seen time and time again, with, you know, with loads of players, Dante Fowler and everybody else, it's the Aaron Donald effect. You walk away from Aaron Donald, you know, and all of a sudden these players, you know, don't do anything. And I think Leonard Floyd is the same. He had that one good year because he wanted to get paid. He's got paid, and then he's gone back to how he was for the first 4 years of his career of, you know, not doing anything. You know, but you do expect him, you know, I'd love for him to step up, but I just don't feel it anymore that he's, you know, and to be honest, in hindsight, I'd have cut him to keep Mellor personally, if we could have done.
Well, that's it. Hindsight is a wonderful thing.
Yes.
But yeah, I agree. I think he does need to show up. I was watching a couple, you sort of key in, don't you? And you sort of watch certain players on certain plays. And he was one that I was definitely keeping an eye on as we go through, thinking, you've got to do more to get through the coverage to get to the quarterback. Now, that was their second string quarterback. We should have been putting him under more pressure. Simple as that.
Yeah,
but their O-line played very well. They protected him very well. I think the Cowboys are a decent team this year. I do, and obviously with what he's done coming in with Dak being out injured, I think it's actually a superb effort from them, really. And they're going to be up there, aren't they?
Yeah, you know, he's the one of those teams that is going to be around, especially with their division as well. You know, they do have, you know, some easy games, but you know, these are games that we should be winning. If you look at us on paper, man to man, you know, they have a good defense, but there's questions on their offense. You know, our defense did the job to their offense and basically kept them quiet. You know, on the whole, we kept the likes of, you know, CD Lamb, Michael Gallup. You know, we kept those players quiet.
Yeah.
You know, really outside of, you know, that big run by Tony Pollard. Yeah, you know, we kept Elliott to under 4 yards, you know, a carry, which is, you know, that's what you want to do. You know, if you can keep a running back to under 4 yards a carry, you know, your defense is doing a decent job. You know, so everything looked good. It was just a case of.
Well, I think with that franchise, I think you've seen from obviously the run that Pollard made against us, which you'd like to say our defense are up there with one of the better defenses in the league, and the numbers potentially say that on rights and wrongs sometimes, but I think he is definitely the running back that's going to take that franchise and the Cowboys further into the playoffs this season, because I think Zeke is definitely not the man he used to be, as no. We're seeing with our own players, that yes, the pinnacle of some NFL players drops very, very quickly.
Yeah, especially at the running back position, because of how, you know, quickly and easy it is, a few injuries and that, you know, and that's it. It's their careers are pretty much, you know, over. You know, that's why a lot of people say you don't pay the running back his second contract, because it ain't worth it.
Yeah.
You can get one in the draft, or, you know, if you need to pick one up, you can pick there's loads of them out there in free agency just sitting there.
Definitely, you know, definitely. Waiting. Anything else that is on your mind in that one before we move on, Andy?
I suppose the only other thing was it was quite surprising actually to see Matt Gay miss a field goal. You know, he's been reliable. You know, he sort of, out of everything that happens, you always felt Matt Gay was at least, you know, Mr. Reliable and could get on with the job. You know, it was quite a shock to see him. And then obviously, you know, the arguments on the sideline that we said earlier.
Mm.
Personally, I'd have gone for the field. I wouldn't have bothered punted. yeah, for what it was worth, we may as well have. Yeah, okay, it would have been a long kick for him, but he has the leg to do it. I think we've all seen that. You know, give the guy a chance. So what if you're giving him it on the 50-yard line? Is it really making that much difference when we're already losing? You might as well take that chance. You know, maybe that could have been a spark to maybe get us back in this game if he'd have made it. You know, so that's about it, really, I think, for me.
No, definitely. And here's the episode name for you, ladies and gentlemen. We lose the showdown at the SoFi Saloon, but we move on to next week. Yeah. Before we talk about, obviously, the game in Carolina, news coming out of the franchise, Andy, there's been a change in the roster. We are activating a former Raven from the practice squad.
Yeah, we're bringing in Matt Scorey. He's been promoted to the active roster off the practice squad. You know, I think it's something that we needed to do. And to be honest, I think he was activated last week for the Cowboys game, but we just never used him, which, to be honest, shocked me a little bit. But, you know, don't get me wrong, he's not no star, you know, player, but I think he can offer us something that other players aren't. And he also has that flexibility, although he's down primarily as a centre. He did in college play all across the interior of the offensive line. So hopefully, you know, he can fit in somewhere. Maybe he's going to be there to, you know, replace. I would imagine he's going to be Edwards' replacement, because Bobby Evans just isn't it for me. I had high hopes for the lad coming out, but he's a liability when he's out there. So it will either be Shelton, I would imagine, would slide back to guard, and he'll come into centre, or they'll leave Shelton where he is at centre and push him out to the guards. And then obviously we've also, the Jake Funk experiment is over. He's now left the squad. He's been basically weighed with no recall to the team. And obviously, as we've probably heard, David Edwards is on IR, so it's going to be at least a minimum of 4 weeks before he could even think of coming back.
Yeah, which is a shame. And there's potentially one other name that's being bundled around socials in the last 24, 48 hours, which never seems to be away from anybody else. Mr. OBJ has been speaking about potential conversations.
Yeah, you know, I think that's just whether or not that's just him trying to maybe squeeze an extra few bucks out.
Bitcoins.
Yeah, I believe he was supposed to be at Buffalo, was it yesterday or today, for a visit. So, you know, but I did say this on Sunday. I was quickly looking back through the Discord, and I did actually, when we were having the Discord chat during the game, and I did actually say, at this rate, OBJ won't want to come back to us because of how poorly we're playing. Well, and I'm beginning to wonder if that's the case. He's doing this now because he doesn't want to come back, because he's like, you ain't got a chance of winning this Super Bowl. I'd rather go to someone like Buffalo, who's competing, you know.
That's interesting. I was sort of looking at it. Yeah, looking at it that way, would you want to come to it? But actually looking at it, I could be the one to make the difference.
Yeah.
And he seems like that kind of person that would want to be the ones that make the difference, if that makes sense.
I think maybe looking at it, though, he's not likely to be active until at least November. Our season could be over by then. So it could be looking at that. He's thinking, you ain't going to get there in November. I'm not. What's the point of me coming when I could probably go to, like I say, somewhere like Buffalo and, you know, pretty much bar a complete disaster, they're guaranteed the playoffs. You know, so, you know, I do think there's a bit of both ways on this one, but we'll just,
you know. The NFL's a funny place.
Yeah, and I've said before, at the end of the day, at the moment, we have more important needs on that team that need to be filled. I'd rather, whatever money we were spending on OBJ, spend it on the O-line. Get somebody in on the O-line to help that team out. That is more pressing, because you can have the best wide receivers, everything in the league. If your O-line is completely rubbish, it doesn't matter, because as we're seeing at the moment, your quarterback can't play. He can't do, you know, the team just can't do anything. So,
I think you're completely right. That makes definite sense, that, to me. Okay, so this week we are in Carolina. I've got their own issues. What have you seen of them so far this season that you like and could potentially like from them, and actually where we can actually attack it, Andy?
To be honest, as much as I know that I think they're 1-5 at the moment, their defense can cause us problems. They have some good pass rushers. You know, Brian Burns, you know, has the potential. I don't think he's just never quite cracked it, but, you know, against our O-line, it could be his breakout game of the season if they play like they did the other night. You know, Derek Brown's decent. Matt Ioannidis, you know, he's a veteran. We've seen what he can do over the years with the Washington team. Was it the Commanders now? They keep changing their name every 5 minutes. You know, they've got Shaq Thompson. You know, they've got other players in the back, you know, on their secondary. And then obviously we've got a couple of our own ex-players coming back. We've got Austin Corbett coming back for them on the O-line. And then obviously the man himself, Johnny Hecker, is back in the clubhouse this week because he's now on their team. You know,
which will be interesting to see if he wants to make a throw on fourth down.
Yeah, obviously, you know, as it stands at the moment, providing, obviously, you never know what's going to happen in the league between now and then, and game day, you know, at the moment it looks like PJ Walker, you know, XFL former MVP, you know, is going to be their starting quarterback due to the fact, I think, Mayfield is basically, I think they've said now he's out, although he's still questionable, they don't expect him to play because he's still in a leg brace. And then obviously Sam Darnold's on IR and the other lad they drafted, Matt Corral's also on IR, so at the moment he's their only quarterback on their roster. But then obviously you do have to factor in Christian McCaffrey. You know, again, he's not the same player that he was a few years ago before all these injuries. You know, I don't think he's quite the, but you know, he is still a massive threat out that backfield, catching more than the running back, to be honest. It's his catching ability out the backfield that is the big issue for us.
And I think that could be their way through this game, is C-Mac is definitely going to be their target man, I think. And if they've obviously got a quarterback in there, which they, well, they've got no other choice, but you'd get the ball out of his hand as quickly as possible with either using it on the ground or playing quick slide passes or screen passes to actually get it in McCaffrey's hand sooner rather than later. I think that's what you will see a lot of this week, and that's my prediction from them. So anyways, I don't think, and I might be wrong, I don't think you're going to see a lot of balls coming over the top of Ramsey's head, basically.
No, I can't see it myself. The only other threat from PJ Walker, in fairness, is the guy is quite mobile. He sort of reminds me a bit of, what's his name, Tyler Huntley, the backup for the Ravens. You know, he can move about. He's not, you know, Lamar Jackson thing, yeah, but he has got a good set of wheels on him, and he can get out of that pocket and make some plays with his feet as well. So obviously we do have to be careful that, you know, they could factor in making him, you know, part of their running game, maybe catching us out that way, you know. And then obviously that they've just sat their head coach, so we all know teams, when they've sat the head coach, seem to, 9 out of 10 times they win the next couple of games, because they seem to, obviously, I believe from what I've read behind the scenes, a lot of players did not like Matt Rhule. They were not happy with him anymore. So obviously they weren't playing particularly well for him. So, you know, sometimes that kick in the backside of, you know, for them, of fight, he's gone now,
always seems the way in any kind of sport is when the manager leaves, the team starts to perform, which it really annoys me on sometimes, because you're like, well, why didn't he perform when he was in the job, for crying out loud?
Yeah, exactly.
But it's just, it happens in all sport. It doesn't matter where you are, doesn't it? As soon as the manager disappears, when it always falls on his head, the team turns up. And why does it always have to be us that then plays them?
Yeah.
I was here on the pod I was on before, and we were talking about the game before we played San Francisco. Jimmy G was always going to have that game against us, because he does.
Yeah, it was just inevitable.
And you've just got that horrible sinking feeling that we're going to see it potentially again on Sunday. I hope we don't. I don't actually have the predictions in front of me of what we all predicted for this one, but I'm going to go on the edge of where I want to go, obviously, as a win, but it feels that could be coming.
It feels like it's that, but the way we're playing at the moment, it feels like it's that banana skin game that we just won't get nothing going again.
Mm-hmm.
I do agree with you, you know. But I think, you know, the only other thing really I think to note of them is obviously it's Steve Wilks, who's took over, who was the former Cardinals coach for a year. But obviously he's more of a defensive mind, so it'll be an interesting matchup. You
know, well, that's it. He's going to know of us because of that rivalry previously, and he will understand who we are and how we play the game. And yeah, like I was saying before, I think the one-dimensional side of Where's Cup has got to be slightly different. They are a 1-in-5 team. They've had some close games. They've had some big scoring games. They've had some serious points put up against them as well.
Yeah.
So we've got to go at this game remembering that we should be favourites rather than how can we get through it and get through it and get through it close. We've got to think we are the Super Bowl champions. We've got that on our chest. Let's go in here and actually smash this team and actually show them that they were right to sack their manager rather than actually it was the players that should have just turned up for him. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, exactly. Exactly. You know, this should be a, I think if we did have the predictions in front of us, I think the majority of us would have had this marked down as, you know, a big fat W, because we do expect us to win this game. This should be one of those games that should be a, you know, in reality, probably over by half time, and we're just cruising through the second half. And by the end of the, you know, by the fourth quarter, we're bringing in the backups because we're so far comfortable. But like we say at the moment, it just doesn't feel like that's going to be the case. No,
definitely not. And obviously, we're obviously traveling across country, which sometimes is always a bit interesting for.
I believe it's at SoFi, isn't it?
As far as I'm aware, I thought it was a. No, I might be wrong.
Pretty certain the Carolina game is at SoFi. I might be wrong.
Who knows? We're playing wherever. No, I think I'm wrong, as per usual.
Yeah, it is SoFi.
That's my wrong. So yeah. I've been saying that we've been going to Carolina, but they're coming to us.
Yeah.
Shows that I can't read.
Yeah. That's all right, mate.
But no, we. What would you have put a score line on the page? What would you say, Andy?
Beforehand, I'd have obviously said we'd have put 30 points on them. You know, maybe they'd have, you know, 30 to 10, to be honest.
But, 30 to 10, okay.
Yeah, I really do think because of the injuries they've got, you know, that they're basically playing, you know, that's what I would expect, you know, before last week's game. But at the moment, you kind of... It's either going to be one of them games where we're going to blow them out and we're going to be comfortable, or it's going to be literally, you know, down to a field goal. I think it's going to be one of those two games. Whoever's got the ball in the hands last is basically going to win this game. It just has that feel into that game.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. It's definitely got that kind of feel about it. I think it's definitely going to be I would have probably agreed with you beforehand that everything you've said there, a win, a convincing win. But I think it's going to be a 2-minute drill going into the final quarter. I think that's just how it's going to be. And I think it's not going to be an easy watch either. I think it's going to be quite messy. Mm-hmm. I hope I'm wrong. And I hope we blow them out and really show up. But I think it's going to be quite a lot of three and outs. I think there's going to be a lot of mistakes. And I just don't see how we can get out of that at the present moment in time. It's just the way it is. But we've got to get through this game. And I think if we can get through this game with a win and to go into the bye week 3-3, I think you've got to look at that as like that's your full-on reset.
Yeah.
To go in 2-4 is quite a bit more of negativity, which I think has got to be one of the main things that they've got to be saying in those coaching rooms over the next couple of days is we've got to go into the bye week 3-3. And we start from zero.
Yeah, basically, you know, especially with how tight our division is, you know, even, you know, the Seahawks, who we were expecting to be, you know, competing for the number one spot.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure which Geno Smith they've ended up with, if I'm honest.
I know, to be brutally honest. I was expecting them to have, you know, binned him by now and, you know, playing their quarterback roulette week in, week out. But, you know, he seems to have, you know, so... Every team still in the division has a chance, and if you're 2-4 at the bye, you know you're starting to worry. I think that's the biggest thing. If we can't win this game, at least if we go in 500, as you say, into the bye week, fans will feel a lot more comfortable than it being 2-4 and then the panic sets in.
Yeah.
You know.
Completely agree. Completely agree. Apologies for getting the fixture the wrong way around, ladies and gentlemen. You have to excuse us, English. We have to try and remember it's the wrong way around because we put it the other way.
Yeah.
So got myself confused there. Schoolboy error. But we go into the game. It is a 9:05 kickoff over here in the UK, 1:05 in the States. We are obviously not the Sky game that's been picked up over here due to the kickoff time. So it will be on Game Pass, ladies and gentlemen, which most people are probably happy with because we get to see the American adverts, and that's probably the best thing about it, right?
Yeah, exactly. I'm not too sure. I'm normally like, I'm not long having my dinner, and then I'm like, I'm seeing all these food adverts, and I'm like, I'm hungry again now. I need to, you know, my waistline's not going to take all season, I think, if this carries on.
But no, thank you very much, Andy. How can I put it? In depth as ever is probably the way I'll put you, my friend.
Yep, no worries. Glad to be on.
Good stuff. We will obviously be back next week to discuss, obviously, and go through the Panthers game. And then obviously we'll have, potentially may have a week off. We may do a little bit in between, obviously, with the bye. We'll see how we go. But we are then, obviously, after the bye week, back at SoFi against the Niners once again. So that'll be an interesting discussion as we go from there. So, no, Andy, nice to have you on, mate. Good to speak.
Yep, you as well, Chris. Nice to have you on. And like I say, hopefully next week we'll be a little bit happier discussing a W, and you know, all our problems maybe feeling like a little bit further away than they were this week.
Definitely. Good to speak to you. Ladies and gentlemen, stay safe. Speak to you all soon.